Alright, so we began last week discussing the last point that I wanted to talk about in this bracha, which was the change in the bracha that we make during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during the Yom Noraim, beginning on Rosh Hashanah, until Yom Kippur, that we, well, I guess on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur themselves, I don't say this bracha, but that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so the bracha normally ends Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat, and during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we change it to HaMelech HaMishpat. And we began discussing last week to the question that needs to be answered, which is that the two formulas seem to be fairly similar, and so first of all, why bother changing at all if it seems to be, you know, essentially the same idea? But more than that, the way that some of the Mefarshim ask the question is that we follow the opinion of the Ri that the Gemara says that the Gemara's formulation of the switch that we make during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is that the whole year we say Hakel HaKadosh Hakel HaMishpat, and in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva we say HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, and the Gemara says, and if you forget to say it, then you have to go back, right? So the Rabbeinu, the Ri, who we follow, and that's why if you open your art scroll Siddur, it will say that if you forget to change it from Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat to HaMelech HaMishpat, that you do not repeat Shemoneh Esrei. The Ri says that specifically those who had the text, the version of Shemoneh Esrei, which said HaKel HaMishpat, if they forgot to change it to HaMelech HaMishpat, they would go back and repeat Shemoneh Esrei, because their version does not say Melech in it. There says HaKel HaMishpat. So if you say HaKel HaMishpat instead of HaMelech HaMishpat during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when we're emphasizing Hashem's Malchus, so then you would have to go back. But we, who our version of the bracha says anyways Malchus in it, says Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat. So changing from Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat to Melech HaMishpat, you forget to change it. You anyways mention Malchus. But even so, if you realize Betoch Kedei Dibor, if you realize within the 4 or 5 seconds of the time period in which you can still fix what you said, and you realize that you said Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you would still change it to HaMelech HaMishpat, right? So even according to what we do, we still assign some significance to the importance of the change, enough at least that if you realize Betoch Kedei Dibor, you still go back and fix it. However, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, pretty hefty group, all say that no, even according to our version of Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat, if you forget and you don't change it to HaMelech HaMishpat during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. We don't pass in that way, but it's the opinion of many major Rishonim. So the question is, even according to our version, that you know if you realize Tolkei Deivor, you go back and correct it. But certainly, according to the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, even after you finish Shemoneh Esrei, you'll repeat Shemoneh Esrei because of this mistake. So the question is, what is the big deal gadol? What is so significant about this change that warrants that if you repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you mess it up? So it seems to be, you know, not even worth changing, even if you remember it seems so similar. And why is it so significant that you would, according to many major Rishonim, that you would repeat Shemoneh Esrei for forgetting it? So we mentioned, so we started last week with the answer that, but before I go actually into what we said last week, just mention that the way the Lavush says it, the Lavush's answer to this question is that Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat is more of a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general interest in Mishpat, that which he is, in a very general sense, you know, in charge of Mishpat. He says that he's the king who loves that Mishpat is done. That's what he means, that he's Melch Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, is not saying that he is, you know, executing judgment, but that he is, you know, just... he is generally in charge of Mishpat. And then now, during Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we're saying HaMelech Sho'ata Yoshev Al Mishpat. That is the king who is currently involved in judgment. That now, that it is the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, so now is the time of Mishpat, so it's necessary to mention not just that God is, you know, in a more general conceptual sense, involved or interested in Mishpat, but that Mishpat is now taking place, that this is the time of Mishpat, and God is currently involved in Mishpat and in carrying out the judgment and in making judgment. So the significant change is because it needs to be recognized that this is the time of Mishpat, that right now we are in the period where God is currently executing judgment, where Hashem is right now Yoshev al Kisei HaMishpat. That's the lacking, that detail is a lack of appreciation of the significance of the period that we're in, and therefore a person needs to repeat Shmoneh Esrei because they're failing to recognize the nature of this period of time of the year where Kadosh Baruch Hu is currently actively involved in calculating the judgment and making the judgment and doing mishpat in the world. However, the Rabbeinu Manoach, his commentary on the Rambam, says a slightly different idea. It's similar, but a different idea. He says that in the formula that we say for the whole year, for the rest of the year, so the mishpat that we say is not actually referring to Hashem executing mishpat. The way he says it, the way it's meant to be understood, the meaning of the phrase that we say the whole year is Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, is Melech Ohev Sheyisnahagu Beruav B'Tzedek U'B'Mishpat. That is a king who loves that his creations act with Tzedek and Mishpat, with righteousness and with justice and with judgment. That he loves when we act with Mishpat. And this bracha is really, the conclusion is really describing how Hashem relates to our actions, that how Hashem relates to our carrying out Mishpat. And it has really nothing to do with God's personal relationship with Mishpat. It is a statement about God's desire that we carry out Mishpat and that we run a world, that we help to create a world in which Mishpat, which is run with justice and fairness, and that we are involved in carrying out Mishpat. And it's a statement of God's perspective towards how we act. However, during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we say HaMelech HaMishpat, which means that he is the shofet, that now in the Yemei Hadin, that now in the time period of judgment, we are emphasizing Hashem's role, that he is the shofet, that he is the ultimate judge who is deciding everything. This is not something which is not true during the rest of the year. We're not emphasizing something which is only true now, but it's something which needs to be recognized now, that now in the time of Din, we have to recognize that the one who is, that the standard that we have to measure up to, the value that we have to place as paramount, is God's value system, because God is the judge, and therefore we have to recognize that he is the one who is judging us, and it's his standards that we have to live up to. And that's the important point in this time of Malchus, of recognizing Hashem as king, that he's the one in charge of everything in the world. That's this point of time that we have to recognize HaMelech HaMishpat, that God is the shofet, that he is the one who has the role of being the judge. And therefore the significance is it's a very big difference. During the whole year, we're not at all being misyaches, we're not at all relating to God's carrying out, God's execution of judgment. The rest of the year is a much broader statement about the way that God wants the world to be run, the way he wants us to conduct ourselves. However, in the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we're talking about something completely different. We're talking about that, now we're talking about how God runs the world, how God himself is involved in Mishpat. And therefore, we can understand the significance of this distinction, that if a person fails to emphasize that point during the Aser Simei Tshuva, so you haven't at all mentioned the fact, it's very nice that you mentioned that God is the Melech, but you haven't at all mentioned the fact that God carries out judgment. In this time of Aser Simei Tshuva, it is critical that we recognize that God is the one who carries out judgment, and in Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat, you have not done that. We have not mentioned at all that God is involved in judgment. We've just mentioned that God desires that judgment, that justice be carried out. Just to go one step further, there is in explaining this final words of the bracha, and this question is not a question created by this explanation, it needs to be explained no matter how you explain the bracha, but there is a, we mentioned this last week, there is a grammatical curiosity, essentially 2 weeks ago, there's a grammatical curiosity in this last phrase, that normally when you have a compound phrase like this, a compound definitive article, it only gets the definitive article once. You would normally say, you know, kisei hakavod. You wouldn't say hakisei hakavod. You normally say eretz hakodesh or base hamikdash. You don't say ha base hamikdash. You say base hamikdash. Normally, the definite article only goes on the second word in the phrase, and makes the whole phrase into a definite article. So, why is this ha melech hamishpat? Seemingly, it should have just said melech hamishpat. This question is not the case by the third brach of Shmuel Esrei, where we say ha keil hakadosh and ha melech hakadosh, because there the word kadosh is an adjective. It's the king who is holy. If we would say ha melech hakodesh, so then it would be a question. We would be saying the king, the holy. It would be kind of then it would be if you want to say the holy king or the king of holiness, that would be Melech HaKadosh. Or Melech HaKodesh. But we're not saying it. We're saying Ha Melech HaKadosh. That's an adjective. That's fine. But here it's two nouns. It's not Ha Melech HaShofet, the king who judges. It's HaMelech HaMishpat, which literally translated means the king, the judge. So it's somewhat of an interesting grammatical phrase. So Rashi, what?
Wouldn't the judge be
HaShofet? Well, I'm sorry. Not it wouldn't be the king, the judge. That would actually not be such a problem. Right? It's not HaMelech HaShofet. It's HaMelech HaMishpat, which means the king, the judgment. Right? If it was Melech HaMishpat, it would be the king of judgment. But HaMelech HaMishpat, literally translated, means the king, the judgment. So what is that supposed to mean? So Rashi kind of glosses this over, and Rashi in Brachos, on this Gemara that talks about this phrase, HaMelech HaMishpat, says that this is just an irregular form. It means the same thing. It's just an irregular form of the same structure, and he brings a couple examples throughout Tanakh. He brings an example, Ha Aron Ha Kodesh, instead of just Aron HaKodesh, Ha Aron HaKodesh. And he says that, you know, it's not normal, but it means the same thing. It's an abnormal, it's an irregular construct of the same grammatical structure. And Rashi says, finds no particular meaning to it, and it means the same thing. However, the Rabbeinu Manoach says that no, it is not it is not just meant to be read as the same as Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMishpat. He says it means Ha Melech HaMishpat. It is meant to be read as basically two separate statements about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is not saying he is the God, he is the King, he is the Judge. That would be Ha Melech HaShofet. It's Ha Melech HaMishpat. Hu HaMelech, Hu HaMishpat. He is the king, and he is judgment. Not he is the judge, but he is judgment. And the Ravid says the same thing, says the same idea, that he is, that Hu HaMelech, Hu HaMishpat. He is the king, and he is judgment. And the Ravid goes on to explain this in a little bit more detail. And the Ravid explains, just like we say, and the certain philosophers had this expression, they say that hu ha yodea, hu ha noda, hu ha das. I don't know if I have the exact phrase right, but basically hu ha chachma. That we say, just like we say that God, just like the philosophers say, that God is wisdom, and the meaning of that is, we don't describe Hashem as Chacham, we say Hashem is Chachma, and we don't say He's Chacham, He is wise, because Chacham would imply, if we describe God as being wise, that would imply that he has acquired Chachma. Chacham is someone who has Chachma, which implies that, you know, there is wisdom out there, and he, God, has mastered it. You know, there's such a thing as wisdom, you know, out there in the world, and it's something something that exists out there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has mastered wisdom, and he has all of the wisdom. He's gained mastery and awareness and control and knowledge and whatever of all wisdom. However, that would be, it seems like it's a great compliment of God, but that would really be heresy. That would really be kfira to say such a thing. That would imply that there's an objective, independent existence out there called Chachma, which is independent of God. God, you know, came along and found the Chachma, and now he has Chachma. However, Hashem is much more than just the smartest or the wisest. He is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom. God is knowledge means that he is, that knowledge is not something which God acquired. It's not something that God has. If it was something that he has, then that means that it's, you know, that it was out there and he got it. God is the source of wisdom. There only is such a thing as wisdom because God created it, because God is the source of it. So that's the meaning of what we say when we say that God is Chachma. And says the Ravid, that's the same thing when we're describing HaMelech HaMishpat, the same idea that we're expressing, that it is not the case that there is an objective system of justice, and Hashem is the most in tune to it. God is the most just. He's the master of justice. He's got that justice thing down pat to a T. Right? That is not the case. That would be, you know, again, it sounds, you know, like a great praise of Hashem to say that God, you know, is the best at justice. It's actually clear to say that God is the best at justice. That's because that's incredibly, in a very significant way, shortchanging God's role in what justice is. God is not just because he applies justice in the most faithful way. He is justice. That which is just is only just because Hashem has decided and decreed that it should be such. God has not figured out what the what justice is, and now he is, you know, since he's such a just entity, so he's such a just being, so he faithfully applies justice. That which is just is only just because God decreed it to be so. There is no such thing as an objective definition of justice which God is subject to and God had to fit into. That which is just is only just because God decreed it to be such. I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but I read this a long time ago. In the introduction, there's an English book called Dynamics of Dispute. It's a very nice book written by Rabbi Zvi Lampel. It is about the nature and development of machlokas, how machlokas developed in Torah Shabbat Peh, and is very thorough and well-sourced, and you know, as a friend of mine put it, it's an English work which qualifies for the name to be called a sefer. But in any case, in the introduction, so writing a book about machlokas, so his goal was just to describe, you know, the nature and development of machlokas. He wasn't, you know, his goal was not to have a philosophical discussion about, you know, the about machlokas. But when he submitted the book to Rabbi Schwab, Rabbi Schwab told him that he should put in the beginning, in the introduction, very important, so that people have a context for understanding this idea that there is machlokas. to put into perspective an idea for appreciating how there could be machlokas. And so he writes there, if I remember correctly, he says this is what Rabbi Schwab, this is his presentation of what Rabbi Schwab told him he should write. And he writes an explanation of the idea, how could it be that we say about machlokas, Hillel and Shammai, or Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the Chazal say it two places in Shas, we say about that, and about machlokas between Rav Avyasar and Rav Yonasan in, I think, Daf Vav and Beis of Gittin, that the Gemara says, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. There's two opposite, mutually exclusive opinions, and the Gemara says both are the words of the living God. So, starting from the Rishonim through the Achronim, there are all kinds of different explanations for what that's supposed to mean. There are some that take a very limited approach, if I remember correctly, the Drush HaSaran, who says something along the lines of that it doesn't mean that both are correct, it means that both have value as a... I think I may be mixing it up. So one of the Rishonim says that both have value as a legitimate search for truth, and therefore both are considered Torah because they're both coming from an emes search for trying to figure out the truth of Ratzon Hashem, and therefore they're both Divrei Elokim Chayim because they're both fulfilling Ratzon Hashem by trying to figure out what the halacha is and what God wants. And there are others who say Rishonim will say that they're both correct, but one of them is the halacha was left up to man to determine, and therefore God was kind of left it, in a certain sense to be determined or figured out. So Rav Schwab there gives an explanation which is similar to the explanation that some of the Rishonim give, but a little bit nuanced. But the way he says it is that to explain how can it be that two opposite opinions are both correct. So he starts and he says that why is that which is considered good, good, and that which is considered bad, bad? And why is it that that which is considered right is right, or true is true, and that which is considered false is false? Why is it that helping old ladies cross the street is nice, and knocking old ladies over and stealing their purses is not nice? So it could be that one possible answer that someone might say is that's inherent. It's inherently true that knocking old ladies over is mean and helping them cross the street is nice. So says Rosh Hashanah, that's not the case. If God wanted that good was to knock old ladies over and steal their purses, and bad was to help them cross the street, God could have created the world in such a way that which we consider good is bad, and that which we consider bad is good. Good is only good because God declared it to be so, and bad is only bad because God declared it to be so. And that which is true is only true because God declared it to be so, and that which is false is only false because God declared it to be so. And therefore, if God decided that two opposite things are true, there's no less of a reason that those two things should be true than that anything else should be true, because something is only true because God made it true. Particularly, I want to get into the whole discussion among the Rishonim about whether or not things that are logically impossible could be done. Not to get into that debate, but particularly in things that are metaphysical truths, metaphysical values, that for God to decide that something is tameh. So, I'm sorry, for something to be tameh, why is this thing tameh? Because God decided it's tameh. There's nothing objectively true that this should be tameh, and there's nothing objectively true about it being tameh. So, the same way that God decided that it's tameh, or that God decided that it's tameh, there's no reason God couldn't decide that it's both. That both are true. That's Schwab says. That's his introduction to how we're supposed to approach, or how we can approach Elu, and understand the context for machlokas. That even though there could be machlokas, that the objective value of what God wants or what God has determined to be true is not necessarily affected by that. So the just to take out the underlying point for our purposes. That the idea that what we mean when we say that Hu HaMishpat, that God is Mishpat, is this idea that which good is good, that which just is not because there's some inherent objective value in creation, which objectively determined that that which we call good is good. That which is good is good because God determined it to be good. The ultimate source of any value system is, of any legitimate value system, or of the legitimate value system, is Ratzon Hashem, is the fact that God wanted it to be that way. And that's what determines it to be right, is the fact that God wanted it to be right. And therefore we say, Hu HaMelech Hu HaMishpat, He is the King and He is the determination of what is right and wrong. And this is very significant. This is not just an arbitrary statement that got plugged in here, but this is what we're emphasizing in the time of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when we switch from Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat to HaMelech HaMishpat. Specifically now, when we're emphasizing that Hashem is Melech, and Melech means that He's absolutely in charge and that He's in control of everything, it's specifically at that time when we emphasize that He is Mishpat, that the system of values comes from Him, that His value is the only value system, because that which is right, that which is true, that which has value is only that way because God decreed that it should be that way. And therefore, it's paramount to recognize in this period of Mishpat that God's Ratzon, that Ratzon Hashem is the only thing that determines value, that determines right and wrong. The only source of Mishpat, is because Hashem is Melech, because Hashem is in absolute control of the world, and He determines not just who has done right and wrong, but He determines right and wrong itself. So it's critical that at this point that we recognize that Hu HaMelech and Hu HaMishpat, that He is the ultimate executioner of right and wrong, but He is also the ultimate source of right and wrong, and is the only source of true value system, of true mishpat, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. Alright, we'll stop here for tonight, and next week we will, Be'ezras Hashem, begin the next bracha.